God, everybody. I thank God for being here today. I thank God for having the opportunity just to get before my family and share a word today. Thank God for the pastor in his absence, and I pray that he and the First Lady are just having a blessed time and that they're safe on their way to Rockdale in the name of Jesus. So I thank God for them. We're going to jump right into this, so I appreciate it if you would just go ahead and stand as we pray and bring the word forth. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you, my God. Father, as you gave me this word, I pray that my family receive this word in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you open the ears and the hearts that they may understand the word that you have specifically for them today. May I decrease, my Lord, and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture, if you don't mind continuing to stand. Our scripture today, and I'll give you time to look it up, comes from Joshua, the first chapter. It's going to be verses 1 through 3 and 5 through 7. All righty. And it reads as follows. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be very strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you, but do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Thank you, Jesus. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. This scripture might sound familiar because the pastor preached on the exact same scripture a few weeks ago, but the Lord gave it to me, and apparently there's someone out there that needs to be strong and be courageous. There's someone out there that needs the strength to go through a life journey. They need the courage to just keep on keeping on in the Lord. So the sections or the parts that the Lord gave me this scripture were Joshua. It was specifically callings. Joshua was called to lead. The people were called to follow, and the entire clan was called to cross the Jordan. The entire clan, which included Joshua and the people. Joshua was called to lead. Joshua had an individual calling, and there are times when we have individual callings. There are times when we have group callings. He was called to lead the people, and the Lord said, lead these people. The time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. I am into the land that I am giving them. The Lord called one leader, and that was Joshua. And How many of you know when the Lord calls you to do something, that's what he wants you to do? He doesn't want you to do what he called Mary to do or Jerry to do, Mike to do. He wants you to do what he called you to do in the name of Jesus. And your calling might be to mow the lawn of the church every 2 weeks. It might be to usher, to serve, or greet, feed the homeless. But it's what you're called to do. And your calling is no less important than anyone's calling. If you come in here and scrub the floors every Saturday, that's your calling. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. It's your part in serving the kingdom of God. I got to share with you, the Lord gave me a vision one day, and it was several years ago, and I've shared it with some. We were in the old church, and the pastor pulls up with his truck, and he has a bunch of seeds in the back. There's as many people in here sitting as were in the old church, and only a few of them got up to help the pastor get the seeds out of the car. And I pray those who have ears hear. A few of them got up to help him get the seeds out of the car. When he brought the seeds in the church, he stood before you and said, okay, church, we're going to plant a garden. We're going to plant a garden in the back of the church. And I'm going to give you your specific bags of seeds. So he gave some carrots, he gave some collard greens, he gave some squash, and whatever else goes in the garden. He gave them their seeds, and he assigned them to their part of the garden. Would you have it? Would you know? Mary wanted to go work with her friend Jody because they got along real well. So she took her collard greens and went over to work with Jody in the carrot section, and both of them spread their seeds. Brother John wanted to work with Jim, and he took his bag of seeds and went to work over there. When the garden grew, some of the vegetables choked out the other vegetables because they were not meant to be planted together. Some of them flourished because they were stronger than the other seeds that were planted. When the garden grew and the pastor saw what happened, the garden was a mess. I shared this revelation with several people, and my thought is, okay, God gave me this vision for other people, so I'm going to share it with them. So I shared it with other people, believing that they would understand how important it is for them to work in their part of the garden. About a few months later, the Lord came to me and said, Dawn, that vision was for you. And I backed up. I'm like, okay, Lord, for me, you know I'm working in my part of the garden, but... yeah, you're working in your part of the garden, but you're working in everybody else's part of the garden, too. I didn't call you to do that. I called you to work in your part of the garden. Why was it so important for the garden to grow so meticulously? That's not even for us to know. The point is, we have to be obedient. So the Lord told me I was trying to do everybody's job. I did my job and I was done because I stayed up all night doing it. But when I woke up, somebody else needed help. So I ran over there and somebody else needed help. And I ran over there and I thought the Lord needed help. So I ran over there. God doesn't need our help. And he kind of straightened me out too. He did not need my help. So after this revelation from God, I asked the Lord, well, Lord, what exactly do you want me to do in your house? What do you want me to do? And the Lord shared with me what I told you years ago as you drove around 410. I want you to feed my sheep. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I will feed your sheep. A few weeks ago, I volunteered to be a backup usher. I'm like, Lord, please help me. It takes strength and courage to stay in your part of the garden. It takes courage, it takes strength to stay in your part of the garden. The point that I had to this is there are leaders and there are followers. The important part is for us to be obedient. So Joshua had an individual call, and his call was to lead the people. The Lord gave him the charge to be strong and to be courageous. The Lord gave you the charge to be strong and to be courageous. The people were called to follow. And it took a group of people to leave Israel. And quiet as it kept, it took a group of people to start living faith. It took a group of people to believe that Kevin Love was pastor material and that you should leave where you were and follow him. It took a group of people to do that. It takes a group of people to do what we are doing here today. It takes all of you. It takes all of us. The word tells us that each of us are given a gift. Each of us are given a gift. If you don't know what your gift is, pray. Pray. If you sincerely want to know what your gift is, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you to where you should be. And you'll either listen or you'll spend 40 more years wandering around the wilderness. So if you do not know your calling, pray to God and he will share with you what your calling is. And your calling is to help the church. Your calling is not to help that blue seat that you're sitting in. Your calling is to help the church. And if each one of us is given a calling, each one of us should ask the Lord, Lord, where are you working that I might follow? Where should I be working, my God? So after you receive your calling, you should only work in your part of the garden. And I'm not saying you can't lift a chair or lift a rock or help someone in the church. I'm not saying that. But operate in your calling. Very, very important. It takes courage to stay in your part of the garden. You can wave to your sister. You can wave to your brother. But let's advance the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, we all have to operate in our calling. This verse number 6 tells us to obey the instructions. Do not deviate. Study the book continually. Meditate on it day and night, and obey everything written in it. Then and only then will you be successful in everything you do. And these instructions still apply today. We don't walk around saying thee and thou today. But you may hear somebody say, girl, you better listen to the Lord. Study your word. Keep your eyes on God. We should obey and listen because sometimes our assignments may change. The Lord is a living God and he's constantly talking to us. Sometimes we get so busy. Hold on, Lord. I don't have time right now. I'm trying to do what you called me to do. Listen to the Lord. He's the shot caller. He's the one guiding us. He's the only one who has a heaven to put you in. So listen to the Lord. Remember that God said, I know the plans I have for you. God knew you before you were in your mother's womb. He knew that you would be sitting here today. He knew that you needed to hear a word telling you to be strong and be courageous. You have to be strong and you have to be courageous. Stay in your part of the garden and move only when God says to move. Obey everything that the Lord tells you, and then and only then will you be successful in everything you do. Now, it's time to cross the Jordan. So I ask God, I read a lot and I ask a lot of questions. And I'm like, Lord, why do they have to be strong and courageous to get what you gave them? I didn't understand that part. Why do I have to be strong and courageous to get what you gave me? Can't you just give it to me? Can't you just give me good health? Can't you just give me that new house, that new car? Can't you just give it to me? That new job, I should add. Can't you just give it to me? But the answer came when they came face to face with the Jordan River. So they're leaving the wilderness. Their promise is on the other side of the Jordan, and they're walking toward their promise. But they come upon this river, and most of us might say, Lord, you brought me to this river, and you know good and well I can't swim. I can't swim across the Jordan, and I don't see a boat. I don't see a jet ski. I don't see anything, Lord. How am I going to get across the Jordan to what you have promised me? My answer came clear. The Lord said to me, Dawn, the Jordan is life. The Jordan is life. What is your Jordan? What is standing in between you and the promise that God promised you? What's standing there? Are you standing there looking for a boat? Are you standing there looking for something to help you get across? Keep your eyes on God. He didn't bring you to the river just to drop you off. He didn't bring you into this life just to leave you. Stand there and wait on him. When you're deciding to stand there, understand this, it's important to be obedient. It's important to read those instructions. It's important to obey them. When the Lord, when you're faced with keeping your job versus losing your job, and you have to lie or tell the truth, look to God. And we all know what God's response is. Tell the truth. Because he got you. The Lord has you. So you tell the truth and you lose your job. Does that mean he doesn't have you? No, because he promised never to leave you and never to abandon you. You're at the foot of the Jordan. You just wait on God. To you adults who, young adults who may be asked to cohabitate before you get married, trust that God will move at the Jordan. Look to God for the response to what you need to do. To you older folks, like me, You may be feeling like you don't fit in. You might be feeling like, okay, now I can't run like I used to, can't jump like I used to. Wait on God. It doesn't mean you don't have a calling. The word doesn't say to what each of us is given a calling until you reach age 60. Each of us have a calling. And I was going to specifically talk to the young adults, but I think I need to talk to the older folks in here. Do not give up your calling. Your calling is not, I was going to say just sit in your seat. Maybe God did call you to sit in your seat, but we all have a calling. And it does not stop until you cross over the Jordan. And by that, I mean until you reach the promised land. To you young people or older people who, it takes strength and courage. You go to a car lot and you see a shiny new car and you can pay for it. How many of you know just because you can pay for it doesn't mean you can afford it? Yeah. Okay, you go and you look at this shiny new car, you test drive it, and that's what I want. It takes strength and it takes courage to turn away from that and go to something that's more affordable. A new home, a new car, new clothes. I'm not gonna give you a credit lesson, but I always look at it as you digging yourself deeper into a hole. So I know some of you are saying, you know, still saying, Lord, I can't swim, but don't fret. The same rules apply today. Be obedient. Study your word. Keep your eyes on God. Then and only then will you know what's going to happen when it comes time for you to cross the Jordan. Keep your eyes on God. Before you know it, you will be walking over the Jordan in dry land. Don't be afraid of the walls of life, that they may come tumbling down on you. God is with you. He promised never to leave you. He promised never to leave you. He promised never to abandon you. And this goes for all of us. It goes for you, it goes for you, it goes for you. He will never leave you. So God forbid you spend so much time focusing on the river that you walk around that wilderness for 40 more years. God forbid it. Grab hold of the promise. Be strong, be courageous. So why do I have to be strong and courageous to get what you promised me? You have to be strong and you gotta be courageous to get through life. We are all running a race. You gotta be strong and you gotta be courageous to finish that race. Don't faint. Do not faint at the end. Do not faint. I had a cousin once who wanted to join track, and God bless you. And she got in this race. It was a relay, and she had to run two times around the track. So she's running and running, and all of a sudden, she's like, this is not for me. She threw the baton. And we're all looking like, oh my goodness, you can't win if you throw the baton. You can't do it. I don't care if you go trucking in there really, really slow. Finish the race. Finish the race. I don't care if you're in last place. Finish the race. Finish the race. And those who have ears, I pray, God, that they hear. It's so important for you to be strong and be courageous. Yeah. It's time to get your blessing. Don't just sit there. Go after what God has promised you. Go ahead and cross the Jordan. What's on the other side, he's already given you. I pray that those who have ears hear what the Lord has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.